Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me via Zoom this morning, I have Tuck Harry, the Executive Director for the Alaska Academy of Drug Abuse and Prevention. Tuck, thanks for joining me this morning for the morning interview.
Yeah, thanks, Erin. Thanks for having us on. We think that it's important to get some word out about some new drugs that are hitting the street and talk a little bit about our program, which is the Alaska Academy for Drug Abuse Prevention. And you can look at our website, which is aafdap.org. You can get a real time view of Tenneke Inlet when you go to our website. You can listen to our podcast, which is informative and talks about drug abuse. Our most recent one was the fentanyl crisis in Southeast Alaska. And we interviewed Chief Ed Mercer of the Juneau Police Department and talk about what's going on with fentanyl and, you know, what we can do to try to slow this whole process down.
Yeah, that's been it's been a rising concern for, you know, every state in the union, unfortunately, and Alaska is no exception. For a quick background, what for the Alaska Academy of Drug Abuse Prevention, how was this organization formed? What's kind of the heart of your work?
Well, it started off, I retired from the river guide business about 5 years ago, and I needed something to do. And so I started looking around, and I had previously been a drug abuse prevention specialist 50 years ago. And so I heard a woman on CNN say there are no comprehensive drug programs. My son died because he did not have services available to him. I started thinking about that, and I said, hey, you know what? We can do something about this.
Right.
You know, I know how to do this. And so even though we live out here in Tenneke, we organized that. There's myself and my program director, Nikita Chase, and my IT director, JT Collins, started this program. And so it started right and in the heart of COVID. And so we're a training academy. We couldn't train.
You know?
So we had to do a little pivot. And so we went to the city of Tenneke, and we got some COVID relief money that they had left over, and we bought some podcast equipment. And so we established our podcast, which is called A Voice from the Wilderness. And you can listen to our podcast on our website. Just go to the website and you can see it. You can listen to the podcast and you can look at Tenneke Inlet at the same time, live stream.
Brilliant.
So that's kind of cool doing that. EarthCam allowed us to be able to do this. They donated the equipment for this. But the whole purpose of AAFDAP is to train young people between the ages of 18 and 25 in how to become drug abuse prevention specialists. We're looking for people who are dedicated and committed to making a difference in their community and coming to Tenneke and learning these skills. We're teaching things like crisis intervention, suicide prevention, how to run an effective meeting, how to write grants, leadership training, any number of different skills that you're going to be able to take on to creating basically your own job in some situations. But it's a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And it will give you the basis of a career.
Yeah. And it's unfortunately a career and a skill set that's, at least in the near future, is not going to be an unneeded thing. It's something that is a continuing issue everywhere with the opioid epidemic. And fentanyl has been one that's coming into the scene of being that counterfeit drug that you might be thinking you're getting one thing and getting another, and the dangers of that. And before we went on air, you were speaking of a new drug that's making its way into the street that's even more dangerous than fentanyl.
Yeah, it's called isoniazid. It's also called xylazine. It's sold on the street as Trank or Iso. and it is 20 to 50 times stronger than fentanyl. Probably the biggest, most serious problem with it is that it does not respond to Narcan. It's not an opioid. So if somebody does overdose on it, a Narcan dose will not stop that overdose situation. So it's beyond belief that we can get to this point where this drug is in 48 of 50 states right now, and it is, they're putting it in fentanyl pills also. So you may even think that you're getting fentanyl, but now you're getting iso too instead of fentanyl. So this is a serious situation, something that we really need to meet head on in this country right now.
So for what form has this been seen in? Is this in capsule, in powder? Like how might people run across it?
Yeah, people ingest it in primarily two different ways. You can get it in a capsule, but people are also injecting it. So, and people who are injecting it are even impairing themselves more because they're sticking it in their injection sites, and it's causing skin to actually dissolve around and muscle tissue to dissolve around those injection sites. It's led to several amputations for people who they can't get it to stop actually that process.
Oh my gosh.
So the necropsia process. So it's led to amputations, but it's also ingested by pill both ways. But again, you know, if you do overdose, and when you overdose, it's breathing rate and heart rate. Those are the two things associated with opioid overdose, fentanyl overdose, whatever. Mm-hmm. Narcan's not going to help you. So it's really bad.
it's avoidance is the only and prevention of interacting with it's really the only safe course of action. Has come up with at least with the dangers of fentanyl being put into as a counterfeit drug. I've heard of testing strips and things that, you know, folks might try to, you know, quote unquote, be safe when using some sort of drug. What's the efficacy of that? And is that something that you can use with ISO as well?
Yeah, I don't know about ISO, but they are developing test strips for fentanyl. The problem is that it takes too long once you try a test strip to actually find out if it really is what you're looking for in the test strips. They're not developed far enough along to really make it effective. So they do work to a certain extent, and they have been trying to distribute them out into certain places, but it's not something that I would rely on. It's more of let's get this developed and make it work so that it is effective.
Mm-hmm. So for folks who, want to get information on either learning some of these prevention skills that the Academy teaches, or finding more resources about, you know, what an overdose looks like, things like that. Are these things information that can be found on your website or in your podcast?
Absolutely. I highly recommend the Juneau Police Department has a DARE website. That's drug abuse retention efficacy. And they have a tremendous amount of information on that website about opioids and what you can do. And, you know, 50 years ago, I wouldn't have given you 10 cents for the DARE program. But as they have evolved, they have come to become a very effective program in teaching young people about drug abuse. And so I do now highly recommend it. They have there's a complete report on Facing Addiction in America by the Surgeon General Spotlight on Opioids. That report is on that DARE website. And it gives you a lot of information about what's going on in terms of opioid abuse and you know, how opioids affect the body. Mm-hmm. So it's an important thing for parents to look at, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that, you know, we need the more information that we can get out, the better we are. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do is mm-hmm. we're trying to get this information out on the street about all these different drugs. And again, we talked about this earlier, but, you know, in overdose situations, the first person to go to is a police officer. And most people go, I'm not going to do that. The police are going to come, they're going to arrest me. Mm-hmm. It's not the case in the state of Alaska. The state of Alaska has a law that says if you overdose on opioids, you cannot be arrested. And I think that's an important point. Yeah. And I'm not sure about the Sitka Police Department, but I bet they're all carrying Narcan kits too. And so your first spear of, you know, point of the spear is a police officer. Call 911. Say, hey, I've got an opioid overdose here. They are out on patrol. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can call an EMT, but they're going to have to, you know, get ramped up to go.
Right.
Police officers are out there on the street. If you have a friend who's, you know, overdosing on the street, go get a police officer because, again, you can't be arrested. They're going to help you.
Right.
They may save that person's life. And I know Juneau Police Department, you know, when we were interviewing Ed Mercer on our podcast, he said just that week they had saved somebody's life with an Narcan kit.
Yeah, it's small beans to think of, like, in the weighing your options of someone who's overdosing may die versus you might get arrested. And even in this case, you won't get arrested. It's not even a question of weighing options. There's really only one, is like, take the most effective and efficient way to potentially save someone's life. And calling the police and getting someone in there. And with, with ISO and with fentanyl coming in, it's extreme caution. Really, avoidance is the only way to truly be safe. But for folks who want more information about learning more about this opioid crisis, how they can help their community and potentially help friends and loved ones, it's aafdap.org. Unfortunately, we're out of time this morning, but thank you so much for joining me this morning and for the work you do with helping to keep more people safe and avoiding these really potentially devastating things. I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Yeah, it was great. And I appreciate you having us on and being able to share our information with you.
Thanks again, Tuck.
Okay. Mm-hmm.